It's episode 1234. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let me say it. And you say the title.
All right.
Episode 1.
All right. This is going to be one of those titles where I'm going to have like a series title, colon.
Okay.
And then another title just to tell you how to do it.
Episode 1, 2, 3, 4.
Dante Discussions. All truth is God's truth.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Bringing You Theology at Warp Speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Van DiMono, and this is a new free feed series of sorts.
This is a big callback. If I am right about why you're referencing that quote.
Is it? Well, it's a common saying.
It is a common saying, but do you remember? I used to say that a lot during about season one of this show.
Oh.
And I think it kind of bugged you.
Tonight we're going to find out why.
Yeah, I think 15 years ago, I kind of remember you like feel. It seemed like you were kind of annoyed when I bring that up.
That's actually a good point. Like that phrase, the part of the crux of this episode is that phrase, I think annoyed's the wrong word. It befuddles me a bit because it's a phrase that on the one hand, half of my brain registers it as, well, of course. And then the other half of my brain says, but the way people use it bothers me a great deal. And I've never until tonight or whenever I was preparing these notes and thinking through this, been able to think through that. But let me explain, so set up what this is. Okay, so we obviously are over on the Patreon feed. We are doing our deep dive on the Divine Comedy. We are almost at the end. I think tonight we are going to record episode 6 of Paradiso. There will be 11 total for Paradiso. So over there on the extra feed, this is a fantastic time to join because you can go back and listen to the whole thing. Inferno, Purgatorio, Paradiso, finish well with us. You can even go further back, hear what we did with the Odyssey, the Iliad, the Aeneid, all these great, chapter by chapter, book by book, canto by canto, dissections of these great works. So if you've ever said to yourself, like maybe you're excited for the Christopher Nolan movie coming out, like, oh, I've always wanted to read the Odyssey. Go read it with us. I'm not saying that we're, perfect, but we're us, and you clearly like us enough to listen to this episode. So go check out Patreon. So
Can I give the website?
Yeah.
Patreon.com/TheSciFiChristian.
So, what this is then is that's a like our deep dive series is intended to be page by page by page, line by line by line, like just really dissecting it down to the nitty gritty. What has occurred to me as we've been coming to the end of Dante is that there's a series of topics that I think are interesting to look at from a holistic point of view, meaning that Dante is really, and hopefully it's been a good experience for people who've been listening along. It's certainly been a good experience putting it together, but there's a perspective you get with Dante going canto by canto by canto, but then there's another perspective where you kind of can take a step back and look at the whole thing and how does Dante develop this theme through all of this. So I have a handful of these, pulled out and be just another way for us to talk about some of the themes that are running through Dante. So that's what this series is going to be.
All right.
Now, tonight, before we get to Dante, you sent me a message about an old friend of the podcast, at least somebody who you've had a personal experience
with. Wow. I mean, back in, let's say...
A lot of Christians have had a personal experience with.
Yeah, between 2005 and 2010, that's just a rough estimate. I remember being a big fan of Rob Bell, of his...
Pastor Rob Bell,
of his Pneuma videos, those short form videos,
He was not a pastor.
He was.
We do not have to call. He deserves no honorific.
Just as a note, I worked at a Christian bookstore around 2005 to 2007, and we would sell these videos, these Pneuma videos. They were like, 5 to 10 minutes long, and they would go for $10. Yeah. So he was making $1 a minute on those videos. It wasn't like they had like special features. It was like people were paying for just these short videos, I believe. Okay, so
I've seen one Pneuma video in my life. Okay. I think, like, and the only thing I remember about it is it's like, it was like this. I was walking, because I wrote, Rob Bell was like all really get to the emotion of it and make you really, really feel something. Like, I'm walking around the lake and it starts to rain and I had to get my son back to the cabin. And that's like, God! That's fine. I think that's the Nuba video. So, it was like 20 years ago.
I like these videos. I listened to his podcast, his church podcast. Read a bunch of, I mean, I read tons of his, I bet five or six of his books.
Yeah.
And then I remember you and I were going to Epic Life Church together. It's 2011, I want to say. And Love Wins comes out. And I knew it was controversial, but I wanted to know for myself. And this, you had the same story. We both want to know what's actually in here. Let's not just listen to the internet. We read it. I actually,
In hindsight, we should have just listened to the internet and saved ourselves.
I believe you read it straight through in one day. I did the same thing. Just it was a pretty easy read. And yeah. I think
Rob Bell was big on blank space.
I'm not saying it's because of Love Wins, but I think it's around that time that I sort of stopped being as interested in his material. I was moving on to other things. You know, actually, you and I became friends around that time, yeah. So I was probably exposed to more things.
But you have to tell the story of when you met Rob Bell.
Oh, of course.
I'm sure you've shared it on the air, but it's one of my favorite stories.
Well, you can fill in. You have to fill in the sight gag of it then, because yeah. Well, my friend Daniel Butcher, who was from the Sci-Fi Christian, and I, we went to go see Rob Bell speak live here in Minneapolis. Man, what year? 2011, 2012?
It must have been. I think
2012
it was
early in Epic Life phase.
I think it was before Love Wins, but it was,
okay.
You know.
I can't remember. Somewhere 2010, 2011, 2012. He's speaking here live, and there's a little meet and greet at the end where he'll...
it's like book signing.
Yeah,
probably.
Book signing and get a picture taken with him. And so it's Daniel on his right, me on his left, and I do the thing you
very,
do in pictures.
Very Jesus and the two thieves on the cross.
Which, I put my arm around him. He's sitting and we're both standing because it's just, a quick book signing, quick picture, get it done. And Ben, why don't you describe what you saw on this picture?
The picture is one of the angriest men I've ever seen in my life. I don't think whatever won that night, it was not love. Rob Bell having a moment. I don't think he wanted to be touched.
I think it's possible I shouldn't have touched him. Yes. we know how pictures are.
Rob Bell plays by stripper rules. You can look, but you can't touch.
But you know how pictures are. We might have just caught him at the very wrong moment. He might have been smiling a second later, but in the picture, he is not smiling.
No. Rob Bell's had a variety of hipsterish looks, and this was a shaved head and black glasses.
Cool glasses.
Yeah. They were not cool. They were never cool glasses.
I don't know what you're going to talk about today with Rob Bell, but can I say one last thing about him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we have to get to the punchline of how this came up again. Like,
maybe, do you want to get to that first, and then I'll tell my one thing?
Yeah, I mean, he's, so Rob Bell left his church, which, as a side note, how weird is it that there were two Mars Hills and they're both terrible for opposite reasons?
Yeah, I lost track of the actual story, and maybe we don't need to get into it here. I have no idea what happened with his church and become controversial?
I mean, not at his church. I mean, they're a bunch of heretics, but
he's probably the emerging church, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing with Rob Bell is, though, you could never pin him down because he's just asking questions. I'm just exploring questions.
I don't think he talks like that.
Terrible person. We'll get to my opinion of Rob Bell in just a second. It's not high. But no, he left that church is still around. The Seattle Mars Hill is not. But his Michigan Mars Hill is, but he left like over 10 years ago and who even knows?
Didn't he have a talk show for a while?
Oh, yeah. He went out to California, did a talk show. He's like one of these, I wouldn't call myself a Christian.
Oh, really?
Even though I like... So
he's not a Christian anymore.
I don't know how he would self-identify. But the point of this is he has a new book out, and it's called Burrito.
Burrito.
Of course it is.
Burrito. How it came up is... my algorithm brought it to my attention. It's a post by Rob Bell, which I don't follow him, but it just came up. And
he probably promoted it. So
and
you
I sent
more
this
copies
to,
of Burrito.
Yeah, I sent this to Ben because it is noteworthy. I used to be, I'd say a pretty big fan of him. And at this point, this book came out a year ago. I didn't even know it existed. But go ahead.
So this is these are his words, mm-hmm. His description of what
this is from the screenshot
Burrito,
I sent you, right?
Yeah, is about. But it is. But then I was so befuddled after I read the screenshot, what's the book?
Yeah, what's it about?
And then I went and tried to find out more. There is no more. This is the sum total of what you can find out about Burrito without paying for it. It's about you. This is Rob Bell. It's about you out taking a walk on a Saturday afternoon after you have a burrito and you end up in this conversation.
So, what conversation, Rob?
That's the man who brought evangelicals to their knees with his hard-hitting theology.
Wow. But and then the thing I liked the most about it was the very first comment on Rob Bell's own post about his book. You have it handy, right?
Yeah, it was fresh heresy. Which,
so why is he heretical? I don't actually know what people have against him right now.
Like right now?
Yeah, in
he
general.
He doesn't believe anything.
Okay.
Like it, if you were to try and tell me what Rob Bell believes, you couldn't do it. So I guess from that perspective, he's not a heretic. Because heretics believe things. Like, heretics have the courage of their beliefs. But that's always been his shtick. And that was a shtick of a lot of the emerging church, too, that was just... And it's an infuriating tactic. You should... Anytime you see somebody do this from any perspective, you should ridicule them. Like, the I'm just asking questions things. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Like, hey, Matt, didn't you don't like your neighbor, don't you? Like, didn't you eat your neighbor? Isn't your neighbor in your basement chopped up? Like, didn't I see you kill your neighbor?
Why do you keep saying
like, I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions. Like, no, you're not. And so, like, that was the whole thing with Love Wins, is that he wrote it in such a way, and I'll share my you had one more thing about Rob Bell, but
no, like, it's okay.
He wrote it in such a way where at any point you could be like, well, Rob Bell said this. Did I? I was just asking questions. It's like,
really? That's
yeah,
what he said.
That's been his consummate defense for all
of
this.
I seem to remember the ultimate conclusion of that book was,
who knows?
I think it was universalism. He thought that God loves
so much.
It
was more slippery than that. Like, Rob Bell is not a complex enough thinker to actually think in those terms.
Love wins. What that means is God's love is so big, nobody has to go to hell. I think that's the outcome of the book.
But what he would tell you, and like, because this was happening in interviews at the time, it's like, so you're Rob Bell, you're a universalist. You said nobody goes to hell. Well, no, I didn't. I just suggested maybe it's possible. How do you argue? Like, there's nothing to argue with, because anytime you try and say, what do you believe? He just sidesteps, and then
So you're saying ridicule people that sidestep.
Exactly. If you can't
take a stand,
if you're going to be a heretic, like, at least Arius had the courage of his convictions.
Right, Arius. Yes. We talked about him last time, and I feel like you were a big fan.
I was not a big fan. But what was your one more thing with Rob Bell?
Well, okay, this has nothing to do with your topic, I'm guessing, but I found it to be noteworthy about him that I listened to his sermons a lot and watched his videos, and he tended to say, in the original Jewish culture, here's what this verse would have really meant, or he'd interpret things in a way that I never really heard before. And at first I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. But it happened so much, and it was things no one else was saying. It started to feel like, oh no, he's just making this up. I think in the end, I might be wrong about this, so don't quote me on this. This is just my opinion. I think in the end, it turned out that he just made up a lot of things that weren't true to...
The author of Burrito?
I know.
It's not so. So my experience with Rob Bell is I watched the one Numa video about him on the lake or whatever it was. I had somebody tell me, like, did you ever see his... Everything is spiritual video. It's like hour of him with the whiteboard.
I probably loaned it to you.
No, it wasn't you. I know who it was.
I 100% watched that.
But so like, you gotta watch.
I kind of remember liking it.
It was not.
I logged that on Letterboxd.
Good. It was not good. And then like, I didn't read anything from Rob Bell because I had other things to read. And so, and Love Wins comes along. Like you said, we're at Epic Life, so I'm a pastor there. Lots of talks. So I'm like, all right. Let's do this. This book's controversial. So, I'm not afraid of reading controversial people. In fact, I think that you can find throughout, life and church history, people who are from a heretical perspective who can still have very valuable things to say to spark your interest. Like I always go to Paul Tillich, the great German 20th century theologian. Definitely not orthodox in his beliefs, but he has just some tremendous books, a brilliant thinker, thought-provoking. So I'm like, all right, Love Wins, the big controversy of our time. And you crack it open, and you realize very quickly this is the dumbest book that's ever been written. And I don't mean the wrongest book. I don't mean that, like, the ideas were the most wrong. The ideas had lots of problems. But, I mean, the dumbest book ever written. Like, Rob Bell, he's like a panic. He's sitting there typing. You can just picture him with his stupid glasses typing. And then he's like, what do I do next? He hits the enter key a few times just to give it some white space. Because everything's just written to make you really feel like I made a point. Like, that's how he writes. And I realized this is the dumbest thing I've ever read. Like, he's such a bad writer. Because that's the thing everybody always said. Well, maybe his theology isn't great, but he writes so well. It really connects with you. There's nothing here worth connecting with. This is the shallow end of the pool. I had written you a message with a bunch of words about Rob Bell that I can't say on the free feed, but I had to come up with some different monikers for how I think of him. And so he is a shallow end denizen. He is one who lives at the shallow end of the pool. He is a mental midget. He is a bad thinker and a worse writer. Like Rob Bell, this is not somebody who should have brought people to their knees for their faith. And it's actually really interesting that, you know, we started to have this conversation because yesterday in the liturgy, gospel reading was the parable of the sower. And it's like, boom, that's it. You know, Rob Bell is such an indictment on modern, not all, but modern evangelicalism, especially the megachurch evangelical culture that emerged in the 90s through the 2000s and unfortunately still persists today. And again, not all, but especially that kind of righteous gemstones-esque culture, because what you had there is you had a bunch of people who did not have roots in their faith. And like that's the parable of the sower, is that some of the seed goes onto this rocky ground and there's no roots. And so it feels really good and it's exciting. And that was like the whole seeker-friendly megachurch movement. And it's so awesome. And then the first sign of trouble shows up. Rob Bell shows up with love wins. Like it devastates your faith. Whereas really, like for anybody who has roots, any church that has roots, any church that was properly catechizing the people who are coming to faith or discipling, to use the Protestant term or evangelical term, that wouldn't be a problem, or at least it wouldn't be as wide a problem. And what's fascinating about not just Rob Bell, but the whole emerging church movement is that it swept through all of these rootless people. It uprooted their faith. You know, it made them deconstruct. And then where are those people now? They're not in the church. They're not even Christian for the most part. They wouldn't describe themselves as Christian. It's like one of the saddest things that we watched, but also incredibly predictable.
Is there anything, because I always think of this time in my life when I was at that bookstore, because I was discovering new authors, new pastors, and emerging church, it felt like it was relatively new in 2005.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that's kind of come and gone, what is that today? Is there anything out there today that you feel like is just a fad that's going to, in 20 years, be
oh,
out?
Oh, I see what you're asking.
Yeah, so if the emerging church, is there an equivalent today? I mean, if not, that's probably better. Like, I guess we should hope for not heretics today. But can you think of anything that's similar today?
Well, and the emerging church was tricky because like there was so many different beliefs in it, so not all of them were heretics, but a lot of them were like the Mark Driscoll types. I mean, Mark Driscoll wasn't a heretic in his theology, but it all kind of wound up to the same thing. I don't know. I guess I'm not as plugged into the evangelical scene to see it today, but I do think that megachurches are a travesty. Like I think megachurches are a scourge on the faith. And
think like a non-denominational megachurch, that's kind of the equivalent?
I wouldn't say it's the equivalent. It's just something that I hope goes away. I think megachurches
just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
But they're
relatively new, like 30 years old, right? Then they hit a like 10 years before emerging church, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think in the 90s was the rise of the megachurch. I just think megachurches are, even if you, like, obviously I'm looking at things from a Catholic perspective, but if I just take that off and just look at it from, like, big tent, lowercase o Orthodox Christianity, megachurches are one of the things I would look to and say, that's not good. That needs to stop. Mm-hmm. Like that is a disaster. And it's more often than not because they are openly heretical. Sometimes they are, but it's the roots problem. It's like I've mentioned this Instagram page. I love the pastors with props. It's like, so if your pastor's on stage on a roller coaster, if your church is doing At the Movies, if your church is like, that's like my barometer. If a church doesn't At the Movies sermon series, out. You're gone. You need to leave. Gone. If your church is promotes online quote unquote worship as equally good, just as good, you need to leave. Like, you need to get out of there because you're not going to get the roots. Your family's not going to get the roots. Your kids aren't going to get the roots. And you have a moral imperative from God to go and get your kids well-rooted in the faith. Well, that's my take on that.
You have a whole episode planned, so I'm going to stop what I wanted to bring up here. But I'll save it for after the music because I thought, you know, I haven't thought about Rob Bell for a while. I've loaded up from Goodreads all the Rob Bell books I've read, so we can talk about that. But I also, there's some that I haven't read that have interesting titles. So, yeah. Post-music,
like, let's Zuzu do it. The Zim Zam.
That's exactly
something.
The one, but don't bring it up. Save it for the end. Yeah. Don't talk about it yet. That's right. Skip it. Just
like Burrito's the dumbed-down version.
No, yeah, Burrito is not even his worst title. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, you're like, wasn't this about Dante? It is. We just had to go down the Rob Bell memory lane because of Burrito.
He was a big part of my life. In some ways,
that's something to think about. Like, I mean, that's something to
there was a season where he
for.
Was an influential pastor in my learning.
I'm glad I.
And then you stepped
glad
in.
I took over. Please don't read Rob Bell. No, not even because he's a heretic, just because he's an idiot. Like, don't read Rob Bell. Okay, so but one of the things Rob Bell was big on, and he was certainly not the only one, as you said. You said this is like this phrase: "All truth is God's truth," and you're right. Like that phrase is always not quite. Sat well with me. And just to get the obvious out of the way, let's assume that you, me, Rob Bell, Dante, everybody is interacting with that phrase or that concept at a deep level. And what I mean by that is that if your Buddhist neighbor says, you know, don't murder and eat your neighbors, like obviously that's true. Like nobody, like that's true. You know, just because they're Buddhist doesn't make the obvious thing go away.
It feels like eating your neighbors is very much on your mind today. You know, is there anything happening in your life? Like, are you having a few?
No, but I
neighbors?
Do want to recommend. I haven't watched. I don't know why it's on my mind, but there's a great movie, a dark comedy movie called Eating Raoul that I highly recommend.
Everyone should go eating your neighbor.
I don't remember if it's the neighbor, but they do in fact eat somebody.
Is it Raul?
Yes. Very funny movie. Please go watch Eating Raul. Highly recommended. But the point is, like, just the shallow version of this is that if, you know, a Muslim says grass is green and water is wet, of course it's true. Like, obviously, I don't think that's what people mean by this. What they mean is that that God's revelation, the truth of God is not confined to one place. And so as I started to think about this, especially in relation to Dante, one of the things, let's talk about Dante a bit, then we'll come back to Rob Bell. One of the things that runs through Dante that is perhaps surprising to modern readers is his usage of pagan sources in the material, in the comedy. By which I mean that you have characters from Greek mythology, Roman mythology especially, who show up throughout the comedy. You have Virgil, the author of the Aeneid, written before Christ, who is Dante's spiritual guide through Inferno and Purgatory. You have not just these characters showing up, but you have examples, you know, of antiquity from mythology, from pagan sources being held up as models for the Christian to follow. One of the notable features of Purgatory is that as Dante is ascending Mount Purgatory and he passes every tier in Mount Purgatory, I'll set this up for people who aren't reading along with us and aren't as familiar with the comedy, every tier is a different sin, one of the seven deadly sins that Dante is being cleansed of. So you're like, you have a tier of pride and a tier of lust and all of that. And when you get to the top, there's often some type of a representation of like the counteracting virtue. So like pride would have a counteracting virtue of humility, lust would have a counteracting virtue of chastity. And so you'll have examples from scripture and from antiquity being held up right next to each other. And so it's not just a little bit of flavor, like, you know, how C.S. Lewis would use fawns or whatnot, a little bit of flavor. It's actually a deeper idea than that for Dante. And he'll even at times go so far as to refer to God as Jove or Jupiter, or, you know, he'll use those titles for God. And it can feel really shocking when you actually sit down and think about what is going on here, because not only is Roman mythology
not Christianity. But if you think of some of the actions that like Zeus or Jupiter does within Roman mythology, they're deeply anti-Christian. If you think about the history of the church, it grows up in its early centuries within the Roman cult, being persecuted by the imperial cult especially, but also in opposition to this state religion, this mythological religion that is there. And so this is not only like just something off to the side, it's something that is deeply embedded in the history of Christianity as being anti-Christian in the early things. And so here comes Dante, and he's adopting it as his own and incorporating it into Christianity. And it occurs to me as I'm reading this that this feels like all truth is God's truth. Okay? And so you have this present in Dante, and then you have this present in, and we'll just keep going with Rob Bell, but certainly it's not exclusively Rob Bell, this, well, all truth is God's truth. And what I find in Dante is that, well, it feels shocking. It feels right. Like there's not ever a point where I feel like Dante is saying, go become a Buddhist, go become a, well, he probably wouldn't know about Buddhists, but go worship Zeus, whatever. It's just as good. Whereas when I hear a Rob Bell type use the phrase, not a Matt Anderson, I always had faith in you.
Thank you.
But a Rob Bell type use the phrase, everything inside of me goes, oh, I hope people don't take that too seriously. And so how can you have the same idea, all truth is God's truth, or to put it another way, we can find, maybe to put it more bluntly, we can find truth from God in other religions. And how does that idea feel so right in Dante and so heretical or heterodox in the Rob Bells of the world? And so what I wanted to do is give a few reasons why I got three reasons why I think that these come across differently and why it actually makes all the difference in the world. And it's a really good lesson for us, I think, from Dante, both to understand how does that concept work, but also just for our own thinking, like how you can have almost an identical idea and you change a couple of things and it goes from right and good and noble to that's you're in the danger zone. So I'll go through that quickly, and then as a chaser on this, I do want to just spend a couple minutes dissecting a phrase that both Dante and Rob Bell would agree with, which is love wins.
Yeah.
And how they mean that quite differently. Okay, so three reasons. Why are these so differently? Number one, I think there's a weight that each side gives to them. There is the Rob Bell side, the Rob Bell contingent, all truth is God's truth, looks at that in a flat style. I'll explain what I mean in a second. Whereas Dante, it is very hierarchical. Let me explain what that means. I mean by that. For, and again, Rob Bell will be like, I never said that, I just suggested it. So, fine, slippery Sam. Like, if you, because I have a different word is substituted there, but I can't say it on the free feed. He's a slippery something. So Rob Bell, he probably would deny that he actually says this, and indeed he only asks about it. So I'm sure that's totally different. But you get this sense, or one of the things that always bothers me with that phrase is that it's a little bit like, okay, I'm at the Christianity table, and if I look over at the Hindu table and I see something that I like over there, it's just as good. And that's great for the Hindus. Oh, and that's for the Muslims. So can't we all get along? In other words, it becomes, uncensored listeners will appreciate some callbacks here, it becomes like the intellectual equivalent of the coexist bumper sticker, where it's like, yeah, I think Christianity's great. Maybe even Christianity's the best, but there's some other really good options out there too. And so that's the flat view of it, or at least some version of that. You could have a stronger version that would go full on, one author I've read, all religions are like fingers pointing at the moon. You know, they've come from different angles, but they're all pointing up at the moon. It's like, well, that's kind of dumb. Leave the moon out of this. what did it ever do to you? And you could have some lighter ones that would be like, no, but Christianity really still is the fullness of truth, but we're going to acknowledge things over here. What Dante does is actually radically different. It is a strong hierarchy, which is to say, I'm going to look at the Aeneid, I'm going to look at Virgil, and I'm going to look at Roman mythology, I'm going to look at the Roman Empire, though we'll come back to that on a different one of these Dante discussions, and say, there is truth there. And for us to get at that truth, it needs to come under the fold. It needs to be placed within the hierarchy of what the faith teaches. And that's something rather remarkable that Dante does. Like you have this almost extreme baptism that occurs of these pagan ideas where it's like, yes, you have truth. Thank you. I'll take that. In other words, you do have truth on your table. And it's now going to be part of my table. It is something radically different because it asserts the kingship, the lordship of Christ over everything. So it's a statement that says, yes, there's truth there. And all that that means is that that truth needs to come over under the headship of Christ. And that's something that I don't ever see in the Rob Bell version of this. It's always like, yeah, Jesus is here, but Muhammad's got some good ideas too. Like, if Muhammad has some good ideas, they are only good to the extent that we can put them under the banner of Christ. That's the difference. Okay, so that's number one, flat versus hierarchical. The practice, and this goes along with it. I think that the Rob Bell version doesn't really do much to challenge those, whereas Dante goes and redeems them. It's like, again, Rob Bell looks at it and says, oh, you got some, you know, your yoga stretches are really good. Fantastic. Thumbs up. We love them. Like, oh, it's just the Hindu meditation feels so peaceful. That's great. Where, in other words, we see truth and it's just left in its context. It's left pristine out in the wild. What Dante does is he says that is true. And what we need to now do is go refine that and capture it and bring it into context. So it is never perfectly true outside of the fullness of the revelation of the church. Because to be a Christian, that's actually what that means, right? Like, to be a Christian, you have to believe that there is something special about the revelation that God has given to the church. And so what that means is that when you see truth outside of the church, it doesn't make it not true. It does mean that it needs to be enriched with the fullness of truth. And Dante is actively doing that throughout the comedy. The third difference is that
I was going to try to make sound. I looked like you lost your spot, so I was just going to say words until you were ready, but looks like you're back and ready.
Yeah, it's a difference between how do we see that truth? Do we see it as finished or unrefined? In other words, is it good in its current form? Is it just there, already good to go, prepackaged, don't need to touch it? Or is it like a lump of clay that needs to be carved into something more profound? And that is absolutely what Dante does, is he takes the pieces from these mythologies and he morphs them and shifts them and transforms them along the way. Okay, so that's, to me, all truth is God's truth. That is a deeply Dantean idea. It's one that runs throughout the comedy. But when you read the comedy, don't fall into the trap that Dante is just being a moral relativist, that he's seeing all faiths as equally valid, because nothing could be further from the truth. Love wins. Here's my thought on love wins. This will be quick. Dante and Rob Bell would both agree at the statement, love wins. And they don't mean at all the same thing about it. Actually, I don't think Rob Bell knows what he means by it, but that's fine. Rob Bell means something that could be universalism or could be at least a potential in that way. Actually, you want to, you know, the interesting thing about Love Wins when you really, and this,
the book,
the book, is that this occurred to me because I think it came out in like 2011, and then I entered the church in 2013, was on my way to Catholicism in 2012. You know what I realized with Love Wins in the back of my mind as I was going through that process? Oh, Rob Bell's trying to discover purgatory. Like, really? that's his big thing. It's like, no, people go to hell. They just don't stay there.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Rob, we had a term for that. Yeah. You idiot. You complete and total moron. But what's interesting about it is, like, just take the whole concept of love wins, and that means some form of universalism. Dante also says love wins, but the difference is, under Dante, God allows our loves to win. God says what you love the most will consume you. And that's one of the things that comes from Infernos. If you really read Inferno, everybody gets what they want. Everybody gets what they always wanted. It's like you get to live in the world that you have created for yourself, that your ultimate loves come forward. And I think to go bring it back to that first point, under all truth is God's truth, one of the great lessons we can get out of Dante is to understand virtue from a hierarchical perspective. It's like a lot of the people who are in Dante's hell did not love the wrong things. Most of the things they loved were fine. The problem is they love them incorrectly. They love them in the wrong order. They love them outside of the hierarchy of virtue in which things ought to be loved. And that's the tragedy that's out there. And so I think Dante would say, yeah, love does win. And if you don't surrender your loves to God, God will allow your loves to be the ones that have the final say. And I think that that's actually a very important message, because the thing that's insidious in the messaging of the Rob Bell crowd is that the opposite of love wins from a universalist interpretation is mean God wins, like hate wins. Sometimes on the sci-fi Christian hate wins, but that's a different topic. Like, it's like, so you set up this false dichotomy of either love wins or hatred and anger win. And, you know, our Reformed friends, you guys play into that message sometimes a little bit with, boy, God, you know, John Piper talking about how God likes, you know, we will in heaven enjoy watching God torture people in hell. Like John Piper has said that. So at times, okay, you can see where Rob Bell's being given a little bit of ammunition. But the truth is the opposite. Like C.S. Lewis puts this really well, that if we don't say to God, thy will be done, God will say to us, thy will be done. Love still wins. It's just a question of whose is going to come out on top. So, Dante, profound thinker, great ideas here. You can hear us dissect all of these through the deep dive, and I hope if you aren't a Patreon listener, you will take the time to do that, if for no other reason, not to listen to us so much, but just to give yourself a structure to read the comedy, and you will be a better person having read the comedy. Eternally relevant all the way up from confronting some of the great heretics of all time to maybe the dumbest heretic of all time in Rob Bell.
Well, he really got it in this episode. Like singled him out.
Well, he wrote a book called Burrito.
I should have never sent you that screenshot. Well, listeners, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBoto.
And we're the Sci-Fi Christians signing off.
Goodbye.
All right, let's take a look at the books that I have read by Rob Bell in no particular order. Yeah. Well, the order is however Goodreads has them listed here. So yeah. We've talked about Love Wins. This, I think, was the first book I read by him.
I guess Velvet Elvis.
Velvet Elvis, Repainting the Christian Faith, 2005.
And this is so I haven't read the book, but let me give you my summary of the book.
Okay.
I was at my garage. I saw this painting of Elvis. And that's like God. Like, that's the depth of Rob Bell's theology.
Next.
Am I wrong?
I don't
remember. It's pretty close.
I mean, this is 21 years ago. I probably read that book. Here's one. Sex God, Exploring the Endless Connections Between Sexuality and Spirituality. That was his follow-up after Velvet Elvis.
That's what we want. Good old Rob Bell, author of Burrito, to talk to you about sex.
You're right that Love Wins comes out in 2011. Looks like I gave him one more book after that, because in 2013 I read his book, What We Talk About When We Talk About God. Okay.
I bet that was profound.
What's this? 2008. Jesus Wants to Save Christians, a manifesto for the church in exile.
Yeah, see, that's like where you can tell where he's heading to the exit. He's like, that's also a pet peeve of mine. Like, there's plenty, obviously, in the church to criticize, and we should hold ourselves accountable, and we should do that. But when, as soon as I see somebody who gets into, like, the, oh, Christians are so bad, like, I almost said a bad word here on the free feed, but why don't you fiddle sticks off? You know, like just there's something so self-righteous about that. And self-righteousness, of course, can come in the opposite form of saying Christians are perfect, but there's something just deeply self-righteous about that. Can I read the Goodreads description of Velvet Elvis?
Yeah.
Let's just see. We have to test everything. I thank God for anybody anywhere who is pointing people to the mysteries of God. There you go. That's all. That's it. We just talked about that. This is a new sentence. Okay. I need to point out his grammar as we go. So that was we're two sentences in. This is sentence three. But those people would all tell you to think long and hard about what they are saying and doing and creating. New. Test it, period. Probe it, period. Do that to this book. Period. Don't swallow it uncritically. Think about it. See, this is how he writes. Like, it's fake profundity because if you just, you know, pepper spray periods throughout your paragraph, you've made a point. No, you haven't. Like, no, you have not. Like, you've said nothing. What has he said? He's like, some people out there have ideas, but you should think about those ideas. Thanks, Rob. Idiot.
I have to confess something. This is the last book. Oh, man. I was prepared to make fun of this book because of the title. I don't remember reading this book. But, Ben, I read.
You read Zim Zam Zazoo.
Let me read the exact title. The Zim Zum of Love, A New Way of Understanding Marriage. Zim Zum, spelled Z-I-M.
Oh, it's a marriage book.
Z-U-M. Z-I-M-Z-U-M. I don't remember what Zim Zum means. No, but I did read it.
I think we need your star ratings on these.
3 stars. don't ask. Don't put me through that. I'm being honest here.
Yeah.
That's
the zimzum of love with a bridge too far.
That was where I ended things. So how many books is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You're missing a bunch though.
Oh, that's not so bad, right? Are you complaining?
Or are you?
I finished. Those are all the books I've read personally.
Oh, okay.
I've read 6 of his books. Yeah. Now you can make fun of any other ones you want.
Okay, yeah. So we have What is the Bible? I'm sure that's profound. How to Be Here. Like, see, that's what, like, just think about that. Oh, your brain registers. Oh, it's profound. How to Be Here. Rob, what are you talking about?
I feel like sometimes, like about once a week, I hear about something and I think I could be an author.
You like, totally could. Like, there's no talent involved in this. In fact, it's anti-talent.
It's not. I'm not trying to get on Rob Bell's case, but there's other things I hear about that became books, and it's like, I could do this. I've always kind of wanted to write a book. You know that about me. I think I should just do 2027 goal, writing a book.
I think what we're learning here is to write a successful book, have an idea, and then just chop off the second half of the sentence and just put a period. Drops Like Stars, A Few Thoughts on Creativity and Suffering. Yeah, your life's very hard. Where Do You Park Your Spaceship? Okay.
Skip the companion and go.
The Love Wins Companion, mm-hmm. A Study Guide for Those Who Want to Go Deeper. I've gone deep enough with you, Rob Bell. There's Only One Noon, yeah.
What?
Where Do You Park Your Spaceship? Oh. Series Book 2.
Is this fiction?
I have no idea. How would you like to dabble in Rob Bell's fiction? The Gods Aren't Angry. Love Wins for Teens. Oh, that's how you can. That's how you can spot a Christian huckster.
Yep.
As soon as you start to get like the Four Firefighters version, like Rick Warren did that with The Purpose Driven Life. Did you ever read The Purpose Driven Life?
Yeah, twice.
What if you?
Speechless. I lost you for a second.
Like, what if your life had some purpose? Had that stupid tree on the front. The Rob Bell Reader.
How did you miss this one? Look at the one that's on the top of my screen.
Millones Cojones.
Is that the real title, or is that a translation?
And then he's writing plays. We'll Get You Back. A play. Here's one that I think really... Something to Say.
That is a book that, that Rob Bell has never been able to relate to, even though he wrote it.
It looks like Melones Cajones is self-published. How bad is it going to be if it's a self-published PDF? I think
Burrito is published. It's self-published.
Oh, no, that's not good. Burrito's not even on. I just realized we haven't even gotten to Burrito yet.
He is prolific. No one gets there alone. Okay.
All right. They have Numa videos on Goodreads. Why would that be? There's no books to read with them.
Who knows?
I did watch this one called Kickball. I remember that one.
I was playing some kickball, and I kicked the ball.
Let's see what it was
and
about.
That's like God. Stupid Rob Bell.
Okay, should we end this episode?
Yeah.
All right, listeners, thank you so much.
I set out telling myself I was going to not be too mean to Rob Bell in this episode. I don't think I succeeded.
I definitely don't think you succeeded. I feel like from the start, that is what you set out to do.
No. I set out to do the opposite.
We did not get that impression. All right, listeners, thank you for joining us. Do check us out on Patreon. It's a way you can support us here. Yeah. Patreon.com/TheSciFiChristian.
We should make some new videos.
I would love to. I have. I've made, I'll find one for you. There's one that exists on the internet.
Okay.
That me and Ryan made for our church in the vein of Numa.
Wow.
Okay. Watch for that, listeners, somewhere on the internet.
Goodbye.
I think I could write a book.
Oh,
I
you feel totally
like
could.
I could like, write a, like, should
the,
I try?
The bar is so low.
Let's just think about this. Just for a quick second, take me seriously. For just a second, I want you to take me seriously about this book idea. Because I know we're saying it tongue in cheek. But let's just say my goal is just to...
You're not interested in a good book.
I don't care if it's very good. I care about completing it and having it be out there in
That's
the world.
That's easy.
So are we thinking like nonfiction, something Christian?
You have a great marriage book inside of you. Because all you have to do is regurgitate the 87 other marriage books.
And they always are quoting from each other.
Exactly.
Okay, because I enjoy fiction.
It's an incestuous genre.
I don't think I have a lot of fiction in me. I have a few stories I've thought about, but I think where I would really succeed is nonfiction.
You should call the book Incestuous Marriage, and it can be about how to have a good marriage.
I said just take me seriously for a second. So marriage, the first idea you gave me was good. Marriage, I enjoy theology. I feel like I can come up with some theological stuff. Like all you need.
The bar is so low.
All you need is a good idea. Like maybe one or two
good
chapters.
No, you don't need a good idea.
One good chapter.
You don't even need that.
Yes, you do. Just to draw people in, like, here's the idea.
Rob Bell doesn't have those.
And then the rest of the books, or rest of the chapters, can be about anything you want.
That's true.
I think I could do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if your goal is simply
just
to write a book.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Anybody can do a book. I guess I would like if it's at least theologically accurate, even if it's not great.
That now the bar's getting a little high.
I mean, I feel like my theology is pretty good. Although I guess you and I don't always see eye to eye.
I mean, you did read the Zim Zoom of Love.
No, I was talking more about Protestant versus Catholic. Like, I bet some of what I think probably won't be totally true, but I'll think of you when I'm writing. Like, would Ben agree with this? Yeah. Scribble, scribble, scribble.
Yeah.
I like to write with my pen. I don't want to type it out.
Stick to, no, you'll never do that.
You don't think so?
If you
never mind. I'm going to type it up.
Yeah. If you stick to marriage and parenting, and you could call it marriage.
It feels weird to do a... It feels weird. I'm being real here for a second. It would feel weird to think I have enough...
None of them do.
I don't think I am qualified to do a marriage
book. Rob Bell wrote a marriage
book. But I feel like I'm qualified to just give some spiritual thoughts. I've been a Christian for a while.
All right.
All right. You're going to buy it?
I'll see if I get an advanced copy.
Yeah, I can get
I'll give you.
I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be
4-star review.
Whatever. Yeah, thank you. 5, please.